Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Earlier today on the Mac and Bone Show.
Let's talk some Panther stuff. Let's talk about stuff that happened at the Combine, things that, you know, were reported at the Combine that pertain to the Panthers. I think the most interesting one, and maybe the most talked about one on Twitter, is this report from Josina Anderson, where she came, tweeted out yesterday that the Panthers told Brian Burns at the Combine, remember they were set to talk to his agent, Todd France, at the Combine, they told him they are discontinuing contract talks at this time. And I really have about 17 follow-up questions to that tweet.
I do too.
But there's nothing else but that.
No.
That they told Brian Burns they are discontinuing contract talks at this time. So what do you make of this, Bo?
Can't be ideal, I guess, because that seems like a statement that would happen when the season begins. Right. Normally, some teams don't talk to players during the season. So if that was like in camp or the regular season, you'd say, well, they don't talk during the year. If there's ever a time to talk contract, Mac, it would be in the offseason. So what led to this? What does this mean? It's hard to you can guess what it means, but without any other follow-ups, it just leads to, as you said, 17 more questions than anything of a definitive answer on this one. So does this mean they're going to tag him and that's it, tag and trade? What? And you got to go back to last week when Dan Morgan brought up all the scenarios he was talking about tag and trades and all those sort of things.
That's the one thing that's scary to me here as someone that would like Brian Burns on this football team, is Dan Morgan said we will talk to his agent, Todd France, and he said, and if we're far apart, however he phrased it, but basically if the talks don't go real well, then the trade's on the table. So, like, is this a, hey, we're done talking to you because we are so far apart saying we're talking, and then does they start thinking about trading? Or is just simply the franchise tag deadline is tomorrow. We know now we're tagging him. There's no need to talk right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, even if they were tagging him, though, wouldn't you hope that they would keep an open dialogue?
That's what I was thinking.
And also, how long are they shutting it down for here?
And also, like, how far apart can you actually be here? You're not I wouldn't guess you're $50 million apart. I mean, we've seen what the numbers might be. Burns wants the 30 range. We've heard that they're in the 27 range. They can't be that far apart in the scheme of contracts to break off talks, can they? You know what I mean? I mean, how contentious can it be if it's not that much money in contract talks that we see here, that we know of?
Yeah, who knows what terms are being thrown around right now? I don't know. Is the Burns camp not budging at all after a disappointing season? You know, is that a hangup? Will I Am says, I think people are overreacting. I think what it is they want to focus on the draft. They want to focus on free agency, and they have him set up regardless. Yeah, it could just be, okay, we got all the information we need. You're tagged, dude. You know what I mean? We'll put the tag on you, and we'll circle back in a few weeks. Could be one of those.
Yeah, Will I Am might be right. We'll focus on this. You're here. We'll continue talking to you when need be, right?
Yeah, and that's the reason why Josina Anderson should probably give more details. I don't know if she might not have any more details. Josina Anderson to me.
She like followed it up later in the night with a tweet basically saying that everything but a long-term contract extension is on the table. I guess she saw the reaction. She knows exactly what she's doing. We've seen this multiple times with recent reports that she's had where she kind of leaves it very vague. Yeah. Like, remember last year, Boney, she did the thing about the NFC East, a coach being that ones wouldn't expect that could be fired when the season's
over. It could
be
a coach from the NFC East that disappoints down the stretch. Then we look at it and go, see, McCarthy, Sirianni.
She loves to get you guessing. She also loves to, I feel like she is very pro Brian Burns. I don't know if that's where she gets, that might be where she gets her intel from. You remember the whole thing last week, the long manifesto she put up on Twitter?
Yeah.
She's very pro Brian Burns, and she's kind of pro player in general. I think most of his sources are from the players and the player camps. But she comes across as a little bit of a shill for Brian Burns.
Let's read the
in this
tweet.
Situation.
Let's read the tweet in full, the follow-up tweet. The first one said, I'm told the Panthers informed Brian Burns during the Combine this past week. They aren't continuing contract talks. We said that. Want to make sure I repeat it. She followed up and said on her own tweet, tagging Brian Burns obviously remains on the table, as does a tag and trade if it can be executed, but long-term contract talks are not currently
in scope.
Yes.
Not currently. It could be back on in three, four weeks. I don't know. I kind of think it's not a real huge development. And her tweet makes it seem like it's a huge development.
Yeah, it's you're right. The more you break it down and look at it, that if you actually go by the situation, it might not be. It reads as almost like there's a breakup happening between the player and the team. I don't think that's what that is.
I think they've just decided Will.i.am was on this saying calm down. I think they just decided, okay, we're tagging you. And we'll circle back. But now we got to do things like Luvu, and we got other free agents. They also need to, like, who's going to get released for cap purposes? You know what I mean? I think they're on to kind of the next stage of their offseason.
Well, restructure in time, too, right? Free agency
and
coming up. You're going to see a lot.
Not just cuts, but
every day there's going to be some sort of restructuring going on around the league now.
Although it was interesting. Dan Morgan said something last week that we didn't really focus on. He said that he would like to change the way they do this and not be so heavy restructuring, kind of be able to pay year to year and not keep pushing stuff off into the future. Where I have to be honest with you, if I was running an NFL team, I would push stuff off in the future constantly. Like, what's the penalty?
What do I do for credit card payments?
Yeah, what's the penalty? Because, like, and I heard Brandon Bean say this last week at the Combine in an interview. Or no, it was his presser. Brandon Bean said people were all over us about what we paid to get Josh Allen. He said, what does it matter what you pay to get a quarterback? If he's the franchise guy, no one's going to care what you paid to get him. And if he's not, I'm fired. And I think the same thing, like, I feel the same thing about pushing stuff off in the cap to create room for the here and now. Like, yeah, you push it off. If it works, it works. And you're a genius. If it doesn't, you're fired anyway. And you don't have to worry about it.
Like, we get annoyed by the Saints, but there's a blueprint there that works for them. I mean, at some point it might get them, but it doesn't seem to. They seem to sign their players and then put that money into bonuses, and they free up money like it's like they go to their change jar and find more money to free up. Right?
Although I will say this, it isn't like the Saints are thriving right now themselves too, right? Like, they could probably use some cap room right now, too. But anyway, so the Brian Burns thing, and the text reactions are everything from goodbye, Brian Burns, hello, future, failed draft pick. That's a texter.
Way to be upbeat.
Brian Burns is done. He's out of here. No big deal. So those are all the different reactions to Josina Anderson's reports. We also, Bone, have the reporting, and this is something we're going to talk about coming up at 7 o'clock. Joe Person and Jeremy Fowler from ESPN were both mentioning that they're hearing the Panthers plan to go in on improving the guard position in free agency. And they both mentioned the same guys. I think it's Robert Hunt from Miami. And then the kid from New England whose name, Owenu, is that how you say his name?
I see it, but I assume that's how you say it.
Yeah.
I want you to be the guard.
I'm not even looking at the name. I'm just trying to guess it. When I look at it, I might be able to sound it out like you do in fourth grade reading. But
I even struggle with that.
I can't even find it on my notes right now. But those are the two guys that were mentioned by actually both Joe Person and Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy Fowler said these guys could cost $16 million or more per year. Panthers going to go get a $16 million a year guard?
Yeah, that's,
where's the wide receiver money going?
Yeah, that's. Well, I guess that would be maybe they're going to draft more than one. I don't know. That's maybe they're going to focus heavy on wideouts in the draft. Maybe they go more than one wideout in the draft. I don't know.
So we'll talk about that coming up at 7 o'clock.
There's enough wideouts to go around there in the first couple of rounds. My gracious,
man, they're talented and fast, so fast this weekend. Mike K brought up centers. Mike K kind of had a tweet that was one of those. It's like he's trying to lead you down a path, you know. And he talked about keep an eye on the centers today. At the Combine, this was yesterday, and he talked about adding multiple O-line pieces in the draft. It's kind of what he's hearing, including a swing tackle in the draft. Yeah, baby, let's get a swing tackle, baby.
That was an unstoppable comment. There's no way we could have stopped you on that one. Yeah.
Oh, man. But anyway, there you go, Bone. So offensive line shopping. Not shocking, but kind of intriguing.
You know? The guard Mike on Wenu? Is that how you say it, Meg? Is that Mike on Wenu? On Wenu. Yeah.
Okay,
on Wenu.
There you go. There I still haven't been able to locate his name. Oh, there it is right there.
Mike on Wenu. We're going to go with On Wenu.
Okay. Former Michigan offensive lineman that's been in the league for like 4 or 5 years.
Former Michigan offensive lineman. He's been in the league for like 4 or 5 years now. Yeah.
Boney is in parrot mode. So anyway, we'll talk about all that stuff. We'll get into it coming up at 7 o'clock here on the Mac and Bone Show. What do you think? Like, if they spent big money on a free agent guard, I don't think that's the direction Panther fans have been pointing for. But with that said, the Joe Person story echoes something we've said on this show a lot, which is you got to have the interior like the Saints interior, because you've got a quarterback that is not big like Drew Brees, and you have to have that middle of that pocket sealed, right? So this is something we've been talking about them doing. Joe Person alludes to them wanting to do that and put resources into that.
Well, it's a new scheme. It's a new offense. And those guys last year that we watched and we heard all year did not fit the scheme that Frank Reich wanted to run, and they never got comfortable all year, being Icky and the guards, really. So, it just might be guys, Matt, that we're talking about that just fit better to what – they might not be – immensely more talented than what the guys are on the roster, but it might be a scheme thing where Canales has certain factors and attributes that he wants in these guys that fit the offense better than the guys did last year, because those guys not fitting in the Frank Reich scheme last year turned into a disaster, and one of the big reasons why the team was so bad last year.
Yeah, it's interesting because both starting guards were hurt. So do they not believe in the starting guards? Are they worried about Corbett's injury? He is getting up there in age. And that knee has been a problem now twice, two injuries of it in a year. I think they got to be worried about his health. And I've said it, man. I love Bradley Bozeman. That was a really disappointing season from Bradley Bozeman last year. And then Mike Kay mentions drafting a center. And by the way, the centers look good. I was watching the big fellas in spandex yesterday. There's some athletic, intriguing centers and interior guys in general. I mean, tackles are good, too. But I get the feeling we're going interior and keeping Icky outside. I get the feeling that's the plan.
Brady Christensen missed the whole season, too, there. So, by the way, Brady Christensen also getting sneaky old already because he played at BYU. He's 27 years old already. For a guy that's fresh to the league, he's also aging rapidly.
You know what he could do? He could be a swing tackle, baby. He could possibly be a swing tackle, baby. All right.
I enjoy when Mac becomes Austin Powers.
All right.
Action Powers.
Let's do it, man. Let's get to Cam. Because I was very upset, Bone, at 10:10 on Friday when I realized, crap, Cam Newton on 4th-and-1 responded and talked about the fight at the 7-on-7 camp, and it did not make the Mac and Bone show on Friday morning. But there always is Monday morning, Bone. And here we are on Monday morning. This was Cam on 4th-and-1, his podcast, talking about it. And he was pretty accountable. He acknowledged even though three dudes tried to sneak attack him, he acknowledged he wasn't good enough either.
I think about the kids who look up to me, and also whether they verbalize their appreciation or just stare in amazement, I feel like I let them down. Because I can't sit up here and say, hey, bro, you got to be bigger than that. And then all of a sudden, I do that, and that just goes to show you gotta always stay in control of your emotions. And that's where the humanistic side came in there. There's no excuse. It's really not. It could have been a melee. More violence could have stemmed from that.
Yeah, anything.
And it's just not called for. And on top of that, it's echoing something that's been permeating for years. Black people. Why I got to be at a black event? You know what I'm saying? And I could easily say, damn, like, I can play the victim, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold myself to that same standard, bro.
Tremendous accountability there from Cam Akers on that whole thing, basically taking a lot of the blame. I don't think Cam Mack let anybody down except for the guys that he picked up and actually put down. Those are the guys he actually let down to the ground, all four guys he was fighting.
interesting stuff he's saying there about, you know, like this is he called it, in his words, he called it a black event, right? And he it seems like he feels bad, right, that people are going to say, oh, look at the you know what I mean? Look at this unruly 7-on-7, you know, and just it's a reflection on things bigger than just him. He's acknowledging a role. He didn't really come out, Bone, and say – like what he did wrong. The reports were that he was trash talking these guys in the middle of their flag game.
Yeah.
He did say basically that he let one person get to him. He talked about how all the stuff he's heard over the years, Cam didn't jump on the fumble. Cam's not accurate, all these things. And he said, all these things I've heard and dealt with and they haven't bothered me. He says, I let one dude bother me. He says, I can't do that.
The dude that was talking trash to him before the fight happened, right? There's the one guy that was on video yapping about Cam. That was probably, it's just probably a long-standing situation that came to a head, obviously. I don't think you're just going to start scrapping like that. I think this is probably one that was brewing under the surface, much like a reality show, right? Where probably they were yapping Mac for many a times through
these
events.
Well, yeah,
it came to a head where
they used to work for Cam,
yeah.
And now they compete against Cam's teams. So clearly there's probably some bad blood there and stuff like that. But I appreciate he did acknowledge kind of what I said last week about Cam and the I forget the name of the other one, Top Shelf Performance, right? You're there to help young folks improve in football and maybe teach them something about life. And then that's what you do. You know what I mean? Like that when you are out there as a coach or a mentor or whatever, it's more than just, hey, I got into this scrap. It's the kids you're trying to help in life.
Yeah, because Cam
watched you and saw that. And he acknowledged that.
Like Cam said, that stuff has not bothered him. But if he feels like he embarrassed himself as a role model, that'll hit him. That's why he's being accountable there.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
You're listening to Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Just in case you missed it earlier this week on the Wes and Walker Show.
It's Charlotte Hornets head basketball coach Steve Clifford.
Coach, what's
joining
going
us
on, baby?
How
are
you? Body Works
We're
Plus
good,
Guest
man.
Hotline. Coach, how are you doing?
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Coach. It's always fun to see everybody smiling, helping out. Like, it seems like the players really get into these types of events where you're giving back to the community. How important is it for you guys to do so?
Oh, it's critical, and I think this one is also a good awareness for the players, you know, to be helping out our military and how instrumental they are for our democracy, for safety around the world. I think it's good for guys to be, all of us, me too, to be involved in this.
It's really cool to be a part of. And now you got some new faces, also handing out some kits, snack kits, hygiene kits as well. And I wanted to talk a little more about some of the new players that you guys acquired at the trade deadline. Coach, how important is it for you guys to not only interact with, you know, the community with some of these new players, but try to adjust on the fly with some of these new guys on the court? Is that hard for you to try to figure out, or is it actually harder for the opposition because they don't have any film based off of the new team that you put together at the deadline?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because we had a little session this morning before the event, and watching it from the last two games, you know, if we were more organized, we should have won both of them. We could have won anyway, and I think that if I could do one thing differently, we did have the 2 days, you know, they came in and we just played, you know, and the 2 days in Utah before the first game after the break, you know, we could have done more organizationally, and we're kind of paying for that right now, to be honest with you.
Coach, when you got all of these new pieces in as they were coming in, and I'm not sure how privy you were before the moves happened or whatnot, but what did you think when you saw the new faces, and how excited did you get with what you could potentially do with them?
Well, you know what happens at the trade deadline? I mean, we actually played we were playing in Milwaukee, and then we came home the next day, and I just played them. I mean, like, you know, all five of them. And obviously the older guys, you know, Seth I have a background with because I was in Brooklyn as a consultant with him. And the other guys have played, you know, some. Trey's younger. Vasa I didn't really know as much about. But, we're kind of hitting it on the run, to be honest with you, and just trying to study as much as we can every day. We've also hit it at a time from an unfortunate standpoint. Our schedule's been brutal. in, out, back to backs, and it's going to continue to be here for the next couple of weeks. But they've been great, and you know, good guys. I mean, our defense has been really, really good, and we've had some good moments offensively. If we can get to be more consistent, if we can get play at the pace of play with the ball movement that we played at in Philadelphia, then we can, you know, have some fun here this last 20 games.
So, Coach, we know kids have Christmas lists, right, that they want. And so when the trade deadline comes, after you've had the chance to be with the team for a long period of time, do coaches secretly have a wish list? And it might not be specific players, but where they're like, man, I could sure use a small forward that can guard and shoot the three, or I could sure use this. Do coaches secretly do that?
Well, actually, those are really almost like the weekly discussions that you have with your president, general manager. You know, could we get more of this? Could we get more of that? I think if there was a coach's secret list, it would always, they would look the same. You know, Kevin Durant, you know, can we get him? Can we get, you know, Luke?
Good idea.
You know?
No,
I mean,
good.
It would be a list like that. But unfortunately, that stuff doesn't happen.
Well, so how much a part of the process are you? I know it's chaos. Deadline is chaos. And so I have to imagine it's hard for Mitch Kupchak, whoever's calling the shots, to let you in on every single thing happening because you got to be working the phones. How much of the process, a part of it, are you with kind of the idea of what they're looking to accomplish the day of the deadline? And how much of a handle do you have it as it's going on?
I mean, the having input, obviously, you always have in terms of, especially I would say 2 weeks before, a week before, because those are more the preliminary calls. So mm-hmm. What do you think of this guy, or can you watch some film maybe on this guy? But those last couple of days, and that's where all the action takes place, you don't have time. You know, it's more so like they'll just call and say, hey, we're going to do this, or that one fell through, we're looking at this, or whatever. And I will tell you, just having been in the league for a long time, I feel bad for the players, you know, because you read some of the rumors, and they'll be out there, and
right.
And half of them, teams haven't even discussed, you know. So, poor guys, some of them have families, or they don't want to leave. Like, the players love living here. So, guys don't want to leave here, and then they, you know, they have to, you know, listen to their families or whatever, talk about some of these rumors, which, like I said, a large percentage are not true.
So here you have a bunch of new players that we talk about over and over again with. And, Coach, I actually want to ask you this question about a player survey that we saw, like, last year. So I remember going back to last year, The Athletic put out this player survey. And when they ask all the players who the coach was that they'd most like to play for and least like to play for, you showed up on both lists. You showed up on most want to play for and least like to play for. I've referenced that constantly in just how my experience has been with you as the head coach a couple times now. Why do you think that is?
I hope this is part of my philosophy with the background of the guys I work for. This is my view on the NBA. Is I hope that the guys that said that they would want to play for me are guys who are committed players who are willing to work towards winning. I think that when I worked for Jeff or I worked for Stan, the guys that didn't like playing for them, to me, were the guys that didn't want to work, you know, and that winning wasn't a priority. And so I do think that, you know, that's what it is. I do this. If you're going to coach and you're going to be demanding, which you still have to be, as different as it is, it's not going to work with every player. I think that you have to put more and more into how much time you spend with each guy. I do know this. I had a veteran player came up to me on this road trip, I won't tell you too, and said, you know, I don't know if I'd like it, but I do respect everybody always says with you, it's about accountability. And, you know, some guys don't want that. So, to me, that's fine.
What's your relationship like with the current players in the locker room compared to other locker rooms you've led before?
Oh, I spend a lot of time with our guys. I mean, I think that along with that now, I think that to last over 82 games and to be able to withstand, like, tough times, which we've had these two, it all starts with this. In our league, they have to like having you for the coach most days. No, not every day. I think if they like it every day, you're not being demanding enough. But I think most days when they go home, if they don't like the way you're doing things or they don't respect the way you're doing things, you're not going to last very long or you're not going to get them to play well.
Coach, who's been the biggest surprise for you of the new additions that you got?
Well, I would say the guy who's obviously made the biggest impact so far has been Grant, who I have always liked, and I knew he was a good player, but you don't know until up close and personal. I knew he was a good defender. I knew he was a really good organizer. He's a much better offensive player than I realized. And obviously with our group of the teams he's played for, you know, he's getting a much bigger piece of the pie offensively, but we've used him a lot as a playmaker. He's a much better passer than I realized. But he's made such a big impact on our group.
Coach, you guys have had some struggles as of late. We get it. But over the last 10 games, you guys are fifth in defensive rating, a problem that you had before big time in the earlier part of the season. What's been the biggest change to get the defense to turn around?
See, I think the two biggest things would be, one, Grant. You know, his organizational skills, his physicality, he's made us much more physical. And then the other one, although he's hurt now, is Cody Martin was getting more in rhythm and more healthy. And his defense, since these guys have been here and even right before, he's getting, as he was getting healthier and healthier and feeling better, he would be a candidate, if you did that over a full year, to be a first, second, third team all defense. He's guarded Markkanen, he's guarded point guards, and he's been just terrific.
Of course, you mentioned Cody Martin. He's out right now. Same thing with Seth Curry, LaMelo Ball. You're dealing with some injuries. What are the status on those three players with Seth and Cody and then LaMelo after?
So Seth and Cody, I think we'll know more in the next, like today or tomorrow. You know, I mean, it happened in Philly, both in the last 5 minutes of the game. Both, when you look at it, it didn't look good, and they both had a lot of swelling immediately. So, but hopefully we'll know more in the next day or so. You know, Melo's doing more and more. He had a good workout today, did some live before we came up here. And I feel like he's getting closer, but not, you know, not quite there yet.
Final question before we get you out of here. We did have the news, not official yet, but we did have the news that it looks like the Hornets have agreed with Jeff Peterson, who is with the Nets organization, for him to take over as president of basketball operations. You mentioned your time in Brooklyn as a consultant. What did you think about Jeff Peterson and your time being familiar with him up there in Brooklyn?
Talented man, do a great job. I mean, he was a huge, huge part of things there. And from basketball knowledge and background to his relationship with all facets of people and all facets of the organization, and he's going to get a chance soon. So I mean, it'll be fortunate for us if it's here.
Yeah, that'll be great. All right, Steve Clifford joining us here at the Spectrum Center for the Military Care event. Coach, we really appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
This afternoon on the Wesson Walker Show.
We got a young man coming over here that is a baller from the Charlotte Hornets joining us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. We've got Bryce McGowan joining us here on Wesson Walker. What's going on, Bryce?
Nothing much. You know, just here, you know, giving back to the community right now for, you know, military helping us. So, yeah, I'm doing good, though.
No doubt about it, man. So, young guy, man, 21 years old in your second season in the league. And how have you adjusted? How would you say year number two is going for you?
I feel like year number two is going real well, you know, getting more comfortable offensively and defensively, you know, knowing where I'm getting my shots offensively and just playing through the offense. And then defensively, just being in the right spots, competing, you know, getting after it. So I feel like I've adjusted well.
What's the biggest lesson you learned from year one that you've carried over to year two that you feel like has really helped you navigate better?
Yeah, just try and learn every day, you know, coming in every day, being able to stay ready. And just competing.
Bryce McGowan's joining us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. We're here at the Spectrum Center for the 2024 Military Care event. Bryce, I want to ask you what got into you guys post-trade deadline. Clearly a big-time rotation overhaul, but how tough was it for you guys to figure each other out once you had so many new players come into the fold, and are you still learning how to play with one another?
Yeah, so we did get a good group of guys in the locker room and on the court that came in during the trade deadline. So I wouldn't say it was too hard. hard to gel with everybody. Everybody came in with good spirits, you know, and from day one, you know, we all greeted each other with open arms. And, you know, once we touched the court, we got after it and, you know, it was fun.
I got to ask you, how was deadline day like for you? Mm-hmm. Because the Hornets were crazy active, as we saw, trading with OKC, bringing in a bunch of new players. Same thing with Dallas. What's it like for you? Are you scrolling your phone just as much as everybody else is to see the Woj bomb? And then when you're, all right, I fit well with him. Yeah, that's cool. Like, is that how it's going for you?
Yeah, most definitely. So from the, you know, time it happens, I just got Twitter. Twitter's just, yeah, you know, just reloading every time Sham and Woj. So for me, you know, just looking at it.
Well, all right, so give us, who was the player that you noted first? Like, okay, I know a lot about his game, and that will help us quite a bit. And did you know everybody's game a decent amount when they came over?
I would say I knew everybody, you know, yeah, just being in the league, knowing guys. But I would say, you know, Grant, you know, he's done sure great for us. You know, just spreading the floor, being an energy guy, you know, talking, communicating, leading. So he's been great for us.
Bryce, with the new additions to the team, has there been any guys, because a lot of veterans were bought in, have you gotten any great knowledge from these guys so far?
Yeah, I would say this group of guys, like DB, Grant, they do a great job at just Seth does a great job at just communicating. You know, me being a young guy, you know, just trying to take bits and bits of things they're saying and, you know, just trying to apply it and use it in the game.
What's been the biggest difference in the locker room, in your opinion, now with the changes?
I would say it's, you know, it's too much a difference, but just a lot of communication, you know what I'm saying? A lot of communication on the court, I would say, more than in the locker room. Yeah.
Bryce McGowan's here at the Spectrum Center joining us via the Body Works Plus guest hotline. You brought up Grant Williams. I had to ask about the Draymond Green comments, man. After he was saying that it's tough to be, you got to be a nice guy, you can't do both, it's not great over here. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you guys take note of as a team when Draymond says something like that, and how'd you react?
Nah, when I saw it, you know, it's just any other thing, you know.
it's Draymond. Yeah, is that what you're saying? Yeah.
I mean, players talk all the time, so you know, we just play the game. That for us, we just play.
So I do want to ask you too, because of how many players are coming over. Does Steve Clifford communicate what your role is before and after trade deadline, and has it changed much for you? Because the rotation has changed for you. You're back, mm-hmm, in the lineup a little bit more, especially with some of the injuries, and you made the most of it last night, going 3 of 3. Impressive play defensively after like a Olynyk errant pass, but I just wanted to figure out what your role is based on how Steve Clifford is communicating that to you.
Yeah, really just for me, I think it starts all defensively. Me and Coach Cliff, you know, we've talked about it, just bringing high energy defensively, you know, being in the right spots, and I feel like energy on the defensive end always leads to offensive energy and, you know, ball movement and other things in that nature.
When you bring in all of these guys via the deadline, is there a conversation between you and Coach Clifford, hey, now that we have Micić, now that we have Seth Curry, this is how much you're going to play night in and night out, or is there any conversation between you two and everybody else, because the team is so changed after you see everybody come over?
Yeah, so not really, you know, but, you know, when the guys came in, it's, you know, it's the same mentality, just work, stay ready, you know, be ready when your name's called, and when you get out there, you make the most of it. So since my rookie year, that's been my go-to.
That was Bryce McGowan's joining us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. You can follow him on X at Bryce McGowan's 5. Bryce, we appreciate the time, man, and best of luck to you as this season finishes out.
Yes, sir. Thank you all so much.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked, because instant replay continues next, only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
We got some news before the show today. Reports that the Panthers could be moving on from Dante Jackson. Yesterday's report that Brian Burns and that contract. Let's just talk about it all with a man who is as plugged in as anybody covering the Panthers, more so, quite frankly, the preeminent beat writer of your Carolina Panthers from The Athletic, the great and powerful Joe Person, is back with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. What's up, brother? How you been?
What's up, buddy? How you been?
I'm good. Just trying to sort through life with no football and enjoy all these great hoops action, hoops games on the weekends and things like that. But quick reaction from you. Russell Wilson let go by Denver, didn't play a single game on that mammoth deal that he got. I mean, in your wildest imagination, could you have foreseen that it ended like this?
No, but when I was listening to you guys talk about that list and the dead money and all those quarterbacks, it just, I mean, it kind of reinstates, not that we need reinforcement on how important the position is, but like there are only like six or seven of those dudes. And Russell Wilson was one of those dudes. And now at least Sean Payton doesn't think he is. And so Denver's going to pay him very handsomely not to play for them. And, you know, it's almost, you know, like the Panthers tried this for how many years? So at least three under Rule. And it was more kind of at the bottom end of the market where they were trying to do it on the cheap. Now, they weren't trying to do it on the cheap with Deshaun Watson, but I just am struck at that position and the money it's going to continue to earn people and get people paid. And, you know, we're still wondering what here in Charlotte if the Panthers have their dude or not. And that's the question that all 32 of these teams always are asking themselves every day.
Love it. Love it. All right. So speaking of this dude here in Charlotte and how they're going to protect him and be better around him, you've got a new piece out over at The Athletic. And we've been talking about this for a while too, Joe, that they've got to protect him up the middle. And we had some conversations about this a couple of months ago with Tyler Dunn and Randy Mueller, both of whom said, hey, look at New Orleans, you know, what they did for Drew Brees over the years. They had dudes and war daddies in the interior offensive line to make sure there was always a pocket to step up into for a shorter quarterback. It sounds like per your reporting that Carolina is going to look to emulate that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I asked Dan Morgan and Dave Canales about this on the record last week in Indianapolis, and they didn't, like, show their hands at every move they were going to make, but they both did not try to hide the fact of the importance of protecting that interior pocket when you have a shorter statured quarterback. So as the week progressed and Indy started hearing talk about how guard is a big priority for them, and who knows which one. I mean, there is the Damian Lewis guy has connections to Canales from Seattle, but we're not going to connect every dot between Dave Canales and the Seattle Seahawks, although they brought a bunch of Seattle assistant coaches over here, as you know. But I'm starting to kind of pick up on the fact that Bradley Bozeman might be part of this kind of restructuring of the interior offensive line too. And that isn't as much, I don't think, about pass protection in his case, but he is very much a downhill blocker. And we saw that and saw his skill set used to a great advantage when Steve Wilks and Ben McAdoo were just kind of running the ball and trying to win ugly at the end of the 2022 season. But when you had Thomas Brown trying to run a lot of Rams wide zone, which is Dave Canales' bailiwick in the run game, that's not so great a fit for Bradley Bozeman. So it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see some a couple of moving parts up front and on the interior. I mean, you know, they're already on record talking about Ike Ekwonu staying at left tackle. Well, I think that's because that's where the emphasis now is on the interior offensive line and getting that really stout for Bryce Young.
And look, I think that's really important. I think you'd agree. We also both agree that finding him weapons on the outside at the wide receiver position nearly as important, and maybe even more so in the eyes of some. So, I mean, look, this is fortunately for them, this is a draft that we're told is loaded with both offensive linemen and wide receiver. How do you think that they best go about bolstering that room between the draft and free agency?
I think I'd double up at both of those spots.
Yeah.
And I mean, easy for me to sit here and say that on, you know, March 4th. But because now, oh, by the way, they have, as you suggested, they have a need a corner now that they didn't have, a couple hours ago. So, I mean, they do need playmakers. I mean, they need a lot. And this is not going to be an overnight fix. It just isn't. There's too much in my mind. I know it's a league of parity and quick turnarounds. We see it every season, but it's just a lot of meat to chew off for Dan Morgan and his scouting staff here in one off season. So it's going to be fascinating. I mean, Brand Tillis was brought in here to be, you know, do cat magic. And, you know, they're going to, you know, I don't think they're like necessarily bad shape from in terms of the cap. They're not. But you start adding in a $24 million franchise tag for Brian Burns and whatever Frankie Louvu is going to command. Now, obviously, that extension for him helps because it spreads out the signing bonus and so forth. But anyway, a lot to take care of this offseason on really both sides of the football.
No question. Joe Person, The Athletic, he's with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. So, I mean, Brian Burns has kind of turned into our version of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay with the will they, won't they, what's going to happen, is he gone? I mean, he's just drug on for so long, Joe, and nobody knows that better than you. Then there's the report yesterday from Josina Anderson that the Panthers have informed him they're halting contract talks for the foreseeable future. Can you shed any light on that? Are you hearing the same thing? And do you think that just automatically means we're going to the franchise tag to at least buy some time for the possibility of a new deal?
Yeah, based on a conversation I had in Indy, that was kind of where this was heading. It didn't sound like there was really much in the way of progress. I don't even know that there was any real negotiating being done. But, you know, I think the two sides were scheduled to get back together and at least check in, I guess might be the best way to say it. You know, Dan Morgan was part of the negotiations back in August and September. And that's kind of the, you know, the $24 million question, if you will. Like, how much different is Dan Morgan's negotiating style and his leadership and his approach to some of these guys? How much is it going to be different than Scott Fitter's? Because he was, you know, his right-hand man, best friend, all this, neighbors. And that was another thing I asked Morgan out in Indy. And he said, look, everybody's got different philosophies. And when you're not the top guy, there's only kind of so much you can do. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think if they place the tag on him tomorrow, which almost certainly they're going to do, they're not going to just let him walk away. Then, you know, it buys them some time. They can kind of take a breath, both sides, kind of start fresh, you know, in a month or so from now, much like they did with Taylor Moten. I mean, that was a little bit of an easier negotiation because no one had offered the Panthers two first rounds and a second for Taylor Moten. But nevertheless, they tagged Moten and eventually re-signed him to an extension. So I think that would be the hope if you're the Panthers that you can reach a common ground with. Look, pass rushers, they need two.
Yeah.
And so you're going to let, if you're going to, you know, tag and trade Brian Burns, and I certainly would understand why. Okay, well, then who are the two pass rushers you're going to go find this offseason?
Joe, have you taken a peek, by the way, at the 2018 and 2019 draft classes for Carolina? And how many of them are left now at this point?
Yeah, it's not great. And, obviously, some of it was the trade situation.
Sure.
with DJ Moore. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's... And that's another reason why you want to draft and develop, and you want to sign your guys like Brian Burns. And it doesn't mean it's always easy, but you know, other franchises seem to be, you know, look at Mike Evans today. And so you just keep working at it. You don't let, you know, kind of emotions or feelings get in the way, which may have happened. It's, you know, kind of reading between the lines based on some of the things Brian Burns said and what you would hear about the negotiations back in August and you know, throughout the summer. But I think at least they've got kind of a fresh start at this and see if they can't figure something out with Brian Burns.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. David Tepper told you that he was fading into the background. At the press conference, I think it was you that asked him about that, right? If he was going to speak,
very much tongue in cheek,
and
facetious.
Okay, so I mean, do we think that? Did you buy that, or do you think that he's going to be more like a shadow government, deep state type of owner, where he pretends to be out of the picture, but he's still back there pulling the strings?
Oh, I think he was just saying it to kind of take a shot at all of us,
yes,
you and I, who talk about his need to take more of a back seat. that was how I read that. It's like, oh no, I'm going to be in the background. And he had a very wry grin as he said it. So, I mean, I appreciate it. It was kind of funny. It was, I think, the lead quote in my story. But no, I don't think he was shedding any new light on his role and with this team that he owns. I will say this. Brant Tillis seems like a guy that was handpicked by Tepper. I mean, Dan Morgan to that point too, but you know, Tepper's all about money. I mean, that's why he's here. And Brant Tillis is a money guy. And I think Tepper was impressed with him 3 years ago when Tillis interviewed for the job Scott Fitterer got. And so clearly this is a guy that he feels like he can trust to make some big money decisions. So maybe in that regard, there will be a little bit more of, insulation, I guess, keeping Tepper out of some of the stuff. But, I mean, he's not just going to change his stripes. Wasn't it Cam Newton who famously said, what are you going to do? Tell a lion not to roar? Well, are you going to tell David Tepper not to meddle?
Yeah, it's fair. Joe, I'll let you go on this, man. I've kept you long enough. I am curious, though, because we're talking about the positions of need and how they're going to do it all and so on and so forth. Just in terms of free agent targets, right, be it a wide receiver or an offensive lineman, if they're taking a big swing at somebody, who's at the top of their list, do you think?
Oh, man, I knew you were going to put me on the spot. Right, I almost hung up the phone before, without getting I don't know. I mean, I will say this. I never really bought into the Mike Evans thing. I mean, I didn't buy into it at all.
I'm with you.
He was with Dave Canales for all of about 7.5 months. I mean, like, why is he going to all of a sudden want to come play football here? And frankly, some of those other top guys, regardless of position, are going to need some convincing. I mean, this has been a bad franchise now for a handful of years. And free agents hear about that, guys talk, the NFL player survey, it was pretty high marks on how they treat players.
Yeah.
With the big exception being Tepper, and specifically Tepper's refusal to take the turf out. So, but I don't know. If you see me, I'm filibustering around your questions. but I will say that it isn't like you can just move a pile of cash to the table, at the middle of the table, and someone's going to say, yeah, I'm going to come play for the Panthers. I mean, they might be working at the second level of free agency this spring.
Yeah, no, I was literally just asking you to throw a shot in the dark, and you did well. I appreciate you, buddy. it's good catching up. We'll see you soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good week.
You tuned into Instant Replay. When the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.